Talking about politics is hard. Watching movies is easier. My name's Emma.
And I'm Sana.
And welcome to Lights, Camera, Action, a Power in Place podcast where we learn about women in politics by watching movies.
Today we're going to watch Election from 1999. It has Reese Witherspoon and Matthew Broderick. It's a dark comedy focused on a high school election, which kind of goes off the rails. And a bit of a content warning, we are going to be talking about grooming and sexual abuse, and the movie is like an R-rated movie, so there will be kind of some sensitive topics. And again, spoiler warning, it's not our fault from this point forward if we spoil this movie for you. So let's go ahead and talk about like what we knew about this movie, how we found it. While making this roster for this podcast, which by the way you can find on Instagram, Power in Place, we were just like, we had a Google Doc where we just put in a couple of movies, documentaries that we had already seen, that we had kind of heard about, just like to have a couple movies that we can discuss going forward that have women in politics. I had never heard of this movie. I just kind of saw it on a random list. I just wrote women in politics movies, and this was like one of the first ones that came up. I looked it up. It had Reese Witherspoon, Matthew Broderick. I was like, oh, it's a pretty nice cast. You know, it has a pretty good Rotten Tomatoes score. We can just watch it. And then we picked it. And then going into this movie, we were completely like blindsided by how funny it was, how at some points it was like super cringy, but relatable.
Yeah, like I remember I knew nothing going in. I'd like seen like the cover on Netflix with like the actors' faces on it, and I started watching it, and about 5 minutes in I was like, does Sana know what this movie's about? Like, does she know what all's in here? Like, I was so close to texting you and being like, hey, have you watched this yet? Because it's kind of wild.
I went to the same thought process while watching it in the first 5-10 minutes. I was like, whoa, this is kind of like raunchy. Should I text Emma and go like, oh, maybe we should do another movie this week? But I was like, let me give it a shot. And it ended up being a really fun movie. And it was super relevant to just like politics now and even then.
It definitely had some like relatable moments. Like, I know both of us, like, we've gone through different high school elections or just high school in general. Mm-hmm. My experience wasn't quite like this movie's, but honestly, it wasn't that far off either. So I remember when I was in high school, I never knew when the election was coming up. I'd always just like show up to school, and 1 week suddenly there'd be posters of everyone's faces everywhere. I'm like, how did they even know to run? Like, you had to kind of be in with some teachers that were involved in leadership in the school to like even know it was happening. And there were some like kind of similar situations with like having teachers who were kind of pushed. Well, rumor has it, this is alleged. This was things I heard from the grapevine in high school, which is a very, very messy place. And all of this could be fake, but there was like a rumor going around that the teacher had kind of stepped in and influenced who ran for what positions, which, as we'll talk about later on, is a very major part of this movie.
For sure it is, yeah. My experience with high school elections, in my senior year, like junior year going into my senior year, we did have elections for 4 positions. The deputy head boy and the head boy, and then the deputy head girl and the head girl, and I ran. Because there were literally 5 girls in my class. We were a very small school. The teachers kind of forced us all to run. Especially the girls, because they were like, we need like a fair election. Like in the movie, they also kind of talk about it can't just be a dictatorship, like one person. So I ran, and it wasn't like something I really wanted to do. But then at one point, one of my friends who I was running against, she's like, Sana, you know I'm gonna get it. And I was like, are you sure about that? And then I kind of was like, okay, let me try and do this. And I was kind of like the candidate where, from what I've heard, one of my teachers who I was kind of close to told me that like only teachers could vote, so it was not like the student body had any control over who the council was. But even within the teachers, my homeroom teacher, she told me that yeah, there were some teachers who were super for you and some who were super against you. And I wish I knew who it was, because it kind of gave me that same feeling of like, why was like this teacher like when I think back on it, was like a teacher super against me getting this student council position. I was like 16.
Yeah, I find that always like really interesting how I know lots of times I've had teachers say to me throughout like K through 12, oh, you know, once you're out in like the real world, as if like high school isn't the real world. Mm-hmm. But then like, I mean, everything I'm experiencing is real. It always like ends up mirroring real life. And the flip side of that is all these teachers are back in high school and that's their real world. And sometimes I feel like the high school drama that makes it seem like it's not the real world also is happening amongst the teachers.
In the movie, there's like this really funny quote where Mr. McAllister, who's played by Matthew Broderick, he's talking about his colleague, Dave, who's also a teacher. And he said, I met Dave a year after I moved to Carver High. And he was one of those people who started teaching high school because he never wanted to leave high school. And I think that kind of like fits what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's definitely a thing. But yeah, so there's these four major different perspectives. And just to give like a little plot summary, a little where the plot kicks off, so that we're all on the same page in case you've decided to listen to all this without watching the movie. It's a high school election. We have Mr. McAllister, who is the history, government, civics, current events teacher, and also the teacher sponsor for the SGA, Student Government Association. We have Tracy Flick, who's the super motivated type A. She's sponsor of like every club, student who is originally running unopposed for student body president. There is some tension between Mr. McAllister, who's also referred to as Mr. M, and Tracy. And Mr. M chooses to motivate another student to run against her, that being Paul Metzler. He was the high school football quarterback who broke his leg, and all the students love him, but he is a little lacking upstairs, not a lot of lights on, but he's a very like lovable, sweet, kind character, very golden retriever energy. And then our fourth perspective is his sister, Tammy Metzler, who also chooses to run against him when her ex-girlfriend decides to leave her for her brother, Paul. And so she chooses to run to everyone's surprise. She's very much a student that doesn't really care about school and does what she wants, and brings a really interesting perspective. But those are our four narrators. And while this movie was rather reflective of high school, it wasn't actually based off high school, it was based off a real election. So let's get into the background portion. So this movie is actually based off a book by Tom Perrotta, who is inspired by the actual US presidential election in 1992, which was the Republican incumbent George Bush running against Bill Clinton, and also had independent Texan Ross Perot as a billionaire spoiler candidate, in a sense, which I actually didn't know that much about. And apparently, according to the author, former President Obama has told him multiple times that it's his favorite movie. So, big deal. It's Obama's favorite political movie.
Yeah, and like I feel like most favorite movies, it's always like reflective of the kind of situation because you can relate to those movies. And like if Obama can relate to this movie about a young girl who's trying to fight for an election, I'm sure there's like we talked about, reflection of real life going on here. So the movie was directed by Alexander Payne. He's directed movies like The Descendants, About Schmidt, and a lot of his movies, including this one, Election, deals with like middle-aged men going through kind of like a midlife crisis, which I thought was interesting.
That is really interesting. I didn't know about that at all. An additional thing with like how the movie's created is it's an MTV movie. MTV produced it,
mm-hmm.
which like I was very surprised by. I haven't watched a lot of MTV movies, but I would not have thought this was MTV until like I saw the logo pop up.
Yeah, I didn't know it was MTV, but when I like saw that, I feel like MTV was like in the 90s, especially like this big force of like kind of showing this side of teenagers, which is like realistic and kind of like teenagers go through some real stuff, and like this movie showed that. And I think MTV, like with their music videos over the years, they've been like known for, you know, pushing the boundaries of what music should be mainstream, and then also having shows like Daria and Beavis and Butthead, which are kind of like show these kind of teenagers who are not these cookie cutter kind of like teenagers you'd see on like Disney Channel, for example. I was like, you know what, yeah, this does seem like something MTV would do.
Yeah, maybe I just need to start watching more MTV. I feel like I've only seen like their more like recent, like mid 2000, like 2010s mm-hmm. shows, which is a very like different vibe.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't think I've seen any of the newer stuff.
One additional big point that I didn't know about till I did more research, but isn't that surprising, is that this movie, like we said, like it's Obama's favorite election movie. It's become a like big cultural moment and a main staple that I think I just kind of missed due to being born after it came out. One of the main characters, Tracy Flick, lots of female politicians get compared to her, like Elizabeth Warren, Kirsten Gillibrand, and especially Hillary Clinton. So there's lots of interesting like commentary that's done about this movie, and also things to be commented on about the fact that these comparisons are even being made, like comparing Hillary Clinton to a movie character of like a 17-year-old high school girl.
Because like Tracy is like, she's very type A. The movie has different perspectives. So like when we are watching Mr. McAllister's perspective, she's like this annoying girl who's like pushing everyone to get to the top. And like there are instances where she does do that. And I think that's why a lot of people use that kind of comparison with a lot of these female politicians. In the movie, Reese Witherspoon's character, Tracy, she talks about how when her mom writes all these letters to these female politicians to see how they became, how they got where they are, they are always like, oh yeah, you have to chase your dream, make sure you stick to it. But also as a woman, there are many pressures that we face, and it's kind of brushed over in the movie, like it's not explained anything further, but throughout the movie I think we can even see that, and it's reflected in real life.
Yeah, that's something major in the movie, like comparing how much the different candidates have to fight, which I think we'll talk about more as we get into what we learned from the movie.
Yeah, what I found interesting that you mentioned that you didn't really know about this movie, and neither did I, when it came out, it actually didn't get too much of like, I think at the box office it was like the budget was $25 million, but it ended up making just like under 200,000 opening weekend. And then slowly it became kind of like critically acclaimed, and it has like a bit of a cult following now. But the movie actually was nominated for an Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay. I don't think it won. Reese Witherspoon, she got a Golden Globe nomination as well. So like it was almost like it was kind of underground. It got a bit of acclaim as well, but now it's kind of amassed this cult following, has become super, it's at the forefront a lot of mainstream and kind of like pop culture now.
And I can see why, because the movie is really well done and well put together, which brings me to our next section, the approach. We talked about this a little already. So the movie is done from different perspectives of each character. It uses voiceovers, which typically I don't like voiceovers mm-hmm. in like movies and TV. There's this phrase I hear a lot in like video classes I take. It's show, don't tell. Like if you're watching a TV show or a movie, you want to be watching it. You want to show the audience what's happening instead of just telling it to them. Mm-hmm. But Election really utilizes voiceovers in a fun way while still also showing you what they're talking about.
Yeah, I found the use of voiceover super compelling. One, I thought was really funny because Matthew Broderick is known because of Ferris Bueller. Like, that was kind of, like, one of the biggest movies he's been in. And that movie also utilized voiceover and narration and kind of breaking the fourth wall as well, which this movie didn't break the fourth wall. But in Ferris Bueller, he was this high school student who was kind of like, the principal of the school hated him, wanted to ruin his day, wanted to ruin his high school career because he would cut school a lot. And now in this movie, it's kind of reversed where Matthew Broderick, again, in that same kind of voiceover, teenage, high school movie, he's the antagonist in my perspective. Like, some people have argued that he is kind of like the main character who's kind of the hero, but I don't agree with that. We'll get into that a bit later. But I thought that kind of reversal of roles was super interesting and was really fun as well.
The sight of Tracy at that moment affected me in a way I can't fully explain. Part of it was that she was spying, but mostly it was her face. Who knew how high she would climb in life? How many people would suffer because of her? I had to stop her. Now.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a really interesting and smart casting choice to cast Matthew Broderick as this teacher, because the teacher starts off as like seeming like such a great guy, but like when you look at all his actions on paper, he is terrible. But Matthew Broderick is so charismatic and so charming, and you still like understand and realize the teacher's a bad person, but I think Matthew Broderick does a good job of still making you want to watch.
Mm-hmm. I was looking up a bit of background for this movie, and like when it was coming to casting, the production company was like to Alexander Payne that we want like Tom Cruise or Tom Hanks to play Mr. McAllister's role, and Alexander Payne was like, no, we need Matthew Broderick for this. And I do think the whole Ferris Bueller, also Matthew Broderick being this very charismatic actor who can play like kind of like this sinister teacher role, but still be kind of like, oh, I'm just like an innocent teacher who loves his students. I think that casting choice was perfect. And then Reese Witherspoon also, apparently she blew everyone away in her audition. And everyone was like, yeah, she's our Tracy Flick.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I could not imagine Mr. McAllister being played by Tom Hanks. Like, too many of his roles are such, like, good, heartwarming characters. Like, I couldn't picture Tom Hanks being this, like, terrible teacher. And Reese Witherspoon also just does an amazing job. The movie is set in Omaha, Nebraska, and she puts on a great Midwestern accent. Like, she doesn't overdo it. It's not like bad, but it honestly just adds so much.
You're the advisor. You should stop her. She's not qualified. She's just a sophomore. Did you know that?
Calm down, Tracy. Just calm down.
These are a bunch of burnouts. And what's this one? That's illegible. I can't even read that.
That's Tim Kobza.
Tim Kobza? Tim Kobza, who's he? I've never even heard of him.
Look, why don't we just forget about...
One thing that really stuck out to me in the approach is everything is super intentional. The shot choices, there's just so many moments. I had like a whole page of just different moments that stuck out to me with just the way it's filmed, which I just really enjoyed. And I think sometimes that comes from a movie being based off a book. Because I find that movies that are based off books a lot of times are way more intentional in how they set up their plot and different scenes. Like, every scene, every interaction is there for a purpose and comes back later, which I just find so satisfying.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of foreshadowing, a bit of like, there's this term called Chekhov's gun, where there's a detail that's mentioned in the beginning of the story that always ends up somehow culminating towards the climax or towards like consequences in the future. So now we're going to talk about the what we learned section of this podcast. And as I mentioned in the content warning, we are going to be talking about grooming and sexual abuse, which is part of this movie. And it's like a common thread that keeps getting brought up. So we are going to be talking about that from this point forward. So in the movie, Tracy has a relationship with this teacher, Dave, who's Mr. McAllister's best friend. Like, their wives are best friends. Mr. McAllister is Dave's son's godparent. They're pretty close. And Dave gets caught and he gets fired. And Mr. McAllister has known about their his relationship with Tracy since it happened. And since it's a dark comedy, the way it's handled is pretty interesting and kind of like unexpected. We can see that this threat continues to pop up. And Mr. McAllister definitely, I think a lot of his motivation to make sure Tracy doesn't win the election is because he holds a lot of resentment towards her because his friend got fired and his life was ruined because of his own actions.
Yeah, it's a very unexpected way of addressing this. Like, I remember when this aspect of the film first came up, I was very taken aback. I was very uncomfortable because you do see it in a more graphic way in how it's talked about, but it's also made clear that it's not right. Like, even Mr. McAllister has a moment where he admits, like, it's not Tracy's fault and what happened was wrong and that Dave was a grown man who should have known better. At the same time, Mr. McAllister also finds out about this and like tells Dave to stop, but doesn't do anything more than that, which was like a huge flag to me because I was a camp counselor this summer. And so as part of that, I had to go through this like training certification to be able to work with kids. And it's a sports camp. So a huge part of this training is to prevent grooming and sexual abuse, and then what to do if you find out that that's happening. And the way that Mr. McAllister handles this is not at all what you're supposed to do. If you find out that, like, in this scenario, it's another teacher. So, like, if a teacher comes up to you and is like, I'm having sex, which it's not sex, she's a minor.
It's statutory rape.
Yeah. With a student, you're supposed to immediately, like, report that to the police and to your boss. Like, you don't just, like, tell the person no or, like, wait until Monday. Like, no, you're supposed to immediately go to the police to prevent any further abuse from occurring.
Yeah, the way Mr. McAllister handles all of this, again, he, time and time again, like, there's a scene where he's talking to Dave after Dave tells him that he's seeing Tracy, Mr. McAllister says, no, this is unethical or immoral, what you're doing is wrong, it's illegal, but then he doesn't do anything about it. He's not very active in that regard. And I think at one point Mr. McAllister does say that, oh, I don't blame Tracy for what happened. But then further on in the movie, during this interrogation scene, Paul and Tammy's posters go missing, and all the student council people are being interrogated. And when Tracy's being interrogated by Mr. McAllister, he kind of uses this against her. He's like, you're lucky no one in the school knows what happened. It could ruin your reputation and it could hinder you from getting elected.
I agree. And I also think that certain young and naive people need to thank their lucky stars and be very, very grateful that the entire school didn't find out about certain indiscretions that could have ruined their reputations and their chances to win certain elections.
And I think certain older people, like you and your colleague, shouldn't be leching after their students, especially when some of them can't even get their own wives pregnant. And they certainly shouldn't be making slanderous accusations, especially when certain young, naive people's mothers are paralegal secretaries at the city's biggest law firm and have won many successful lawsuits. And if you want to keep questioning me like this, I won't continue without my attorney present.
Again, I think this is like a play on perspective, right? When we look at this situation from Mr. McAllister's perspective, he's talking about how, oh yeah, I told Dave it was illegal and that's immoral. But when we're looking at this from an outsider's perspective or from Tracy's perspective, he's using it to manipulate her. And the movie, the way it handles is, I think it's super interesting because again, it's a dark comedy, so there will be like exploring darker themes like grooming and sexual abuse, but they don't make light of it or make fun of Tracy or the fact that she was groomed. They do make fun of Dave, who is the groomer. They make him look very pathetic. When he gets caught, he's like sobbing and crying, and he's like, oh, she wanted to read my novel, which hasn't even been written yet. And Tracy is shown as super naive. She does talk about, like, you might think it's because I don't have a father and that I was looking for validation from a man. And then Emma pointed out while we were talking that literally in that scene, she talks about how she felt safe with Dave and all that, which I guess he was kind of fulfilling that role for her.
Yeah, like immediately afterwards. So I think overall, the like movie itself, that outsider perspective,
mm-hmm.
does well in not making it seem like what happened was okay. Like, we see a scene with like Tracy in Dave's car, and Dave, you can tell Dave knows it's wrong because he like asks her to hide, or like, when they're at his house to like hook up, it's so uncomfortable and not at all like
cute, yeah, awkward.
Or sexy. There's like a baby's crib in the corner, which I think like when you compare it sometimes to TV shows and movies about high school today, does it a little bit better in that way of like not making it seem cool or sexy or like it's okay. Like it definitely mm-hmm. makes it seem like this was a weird and wrong and like bad thing to do, and that Dave is just not a good person.
He's not.
And that Tracy's just a kid whose perspective is skewed because she's been mm-hmm. groomed.
Yeah, speaking of that, and this again is like a rated R movie, so the even though it's about a high school election, it was geared towards older people, like adults or like young adults. So hopefully the movie was thinking that, oh, the people who are going to watch this are going to have like their critical thinking skills of knowing that this is wrong too. And they did show that it was wrong. And speaking of high school and how it's portrayed today, and especially grooming, we talked about this a little bit before when we were structuring this episode, how it kind of reminded us of this similar aspect in the show called Riverdale. If you haven't seen it, you're lucky, but
I will say, both of us definitely, like, might have watched the entirety of the first three seasons.
Allegedly,
like, don't quote me on that.
Yeah,
I definitely
totally wasn't,
like,
a guilty pleasure.
Definitely didn't binge it or whatever.
But in the first season of Riverdale, Archie, it's based on the Archie comics, Archie has, like, a relationship with the music teacher. I forgot her name. But
yeah, I can't remember either. But they, like,
yeah.
That whole show, like, all the high schoolers, they look like adults. It's all very like comes across very like sexy and like cool and okay.
Yeah, and like the relationship with him and the teacher was like very sexualized and like, ooh, like dangerous almost, you know?
Yeah, and like
and that show is catered towards like teenagers. It's like 13 plus. So like the again, like talking about that, like who this movie is for, Election was rated R and is for like adults who've been through like this, like been through high school and know that how crazy it can be, but have that kind of adult perspective of like what was wrong and what's right. But kids, like, no, like kids can obviously be very mature, they know what's right and what's wrong, but the way this aspect of like high school was shown in a show like Riverdale, which is for teenagers, I think was super responsible as well.
Yeah, like I was 15 when I was watching that, and there's some characters in Riverdale who do like speak up and say it's wrong, but generally it is not handled very well.
It's not.
And I think overall Election does a really good job of representing what high school is actually like sometimes, and I think even with like the R rating helps it do that, because mm-hmm. high schoolers, like, they swear, they cuss, they have sex, like these things all happen, but it doesn't glorify them or make them look
yeah.
cool or fun, and it doesn't also make the high schoolers look like adults. For
mm-hmm.
example, the school they filmed it in, they filmed it while school was in session, so all the extras in the background are like actual high schoolers who go to that school, and I feel like that does a lot for the movie and making it feel very real.
Yeah, and even like the wardrobe choices, you know, like the way they portray Tracy, she's like very put together, she's very covered up, she has a cardigan, skirt, leggings on, like she's not overly sexualized as well. Even Paul, who's like this, like supposed to be this like quarterback jock kind of dude, he's also like, you know, like a high schooler.
He's not shirtless with like
yeah.
ripped abs every 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And Tammy has like braces on, and her hair is always kind of messed up. Like, they're shown as like just kids in high school. they're not overly sexualized, and the teachers are shown as, like, you know, adults definitely who are also very flawed characters.
Yeah, and also with the way the movie portrays high school, it approaches representation really interestingly. Mm-hmm. In that the point of the representation, so for example, Tammy's character is, she says that she's not a lesbian, but that the only people she's ever liked are girls, which is mm-hmm. a very relatable feeling when in high school. And there's also a disabled student who's, like, running for vice president. And, like, these characters and the way they're written, it doesn't come across as the point of them being to represent groups of people. And
they're just, like, kids who are part of the student body.
Yeah, and those aspects of who they are also aren't the butt of the joke.
Mm-hmm.
They're used sometimes to, like, set up some jokes, but it's never, like, laughed at, appreciated, and didn't expect from a movie in the 90s.
There wasn't a lot of, like, racial representation, but I think I found Tammy's, like, queer kind of representation. It was, like, really funny. She was still, like, a teenage girl who had, like, super intense hormones, like all teenagers have. So, like, the fact she was in love with, I think her name was Lisa, she showed how, oh, Lisa's my soulmate. Like, I can't believe I found her. Out of all the people in this world, I found Lisa and we found each other. And as soon as Lisa breaks up with her, she kind of goes through this mourning period. She's, like, sobbing. But then at the end of the movie, when Tammy finds another girl, she has, like, the exact same feelings. So it's, like, kind of funny that it's, like, treating, like, relationships the way, like, a heterosexual couple in high school would feel as well, but it's just two women instead.
Yeah, and it doesn't, like, hold back from showing the relationship. It's not like, oh, it's vaguely hinted at. Like, no, it's very plainly stated. Like, she's narrating it, which I also, her whole narration cracked me up so much, because we're getting to the movie, like, you think you've met all the narrators, the tone is very set, and all of a sudden we, like, cut to Tammy's bedroom, and there's this other character you've never met before, and she starts talking, and I was just like, what in the world? And just the way that was done alone was so funny.
It was so funny. I think Tammy was probably my favorite character.
For sure. And a big part of what stood out to me about the whole film and some of its commentary about the real world, which includes high school, was done through Tammy's character. There is a scene where all the candidates give their speeches to the student body about, like, why you should elect them. And Tammy's speech is just this huge kind of call out of the electoral process and if it even, like, really matters.
And what's funny about that scene is her, like, speech, which is basically like, oh, this election doesn't matter. If I get elected, I'm gonna dissolve the student body, is that it garners the biggest response, and, like, she gets a whole standing ovation, which I thought was super funny as well.
Oh yeah, it was hilarious. And at the end of it, she's like, you know what, vote or don't vote, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Don't vote for anybody.
We all know it doesn't matter who gets elected president of Carver. Do you really think it's gonna change anything around here? The same pathetic charade happens every year, and everyone makes the same pathetic promises just so they can put it on their transcripts to get into college. So vote for me. The only promise I will make is that if elected, I will immediately dismantle the student government so that none of us will ever have to sit through one of these stupid assemblies again.
Very real sentiment from adults as well, that, like, they feel like no matter who wins, nothing might change for them, and that, like, their vote doesn't really count because everybody else is gonna vote and there's no way they'll be, like, the deciding vote, which reminded me a lot of this paper I had to read for my econ class. It's called The Economic Theory of Democracy by Anthony Downs. I'm definitely not an expert on it, but one of the big points is that it's rational for an individual voter not to vote. And that kind of really changed perspectives of people in research. Instead of researching like why don't people vote, researching why they do. Because when rational choice like is applied, like there's so many people voting, and if it's given that you expect everybody else to vote, there's no reason for people to believe that their singular vote will change the outcome. And I want to get clear, I'm not saying don't vote, please vote, but that's kind of one of the points of this paper. And I feel like this high school speech and how it might be more aimed at like how high school elections don't matter, it is reflective of like an attitude of a lot of people, and there's like actual research about this. So I definitely recommend, if you're interested, looking into that.
Yeah, and just like kind of to counter that, the movie showed though that every vote counts, right? Because when the voting is happening, Tammy gets kicked out of the race for, you know, a bunch of like different misdemeanors, but Paul is the deciding vote. He ends up voting for Tracy because he's like, oh, I don't know, it feels mean to just vote for myself, so I'm going to vote for Tracy. And Tracy literally does win by one vote. It's just that Mr. McAllister ends up meddling and throwing two of her votes away. One of the kids in the room with Mr. McAllister, while they're counting the ballots, he gives Tracy a thumbs up because he counted the votes and he knows that Tracy won. So Tracy gets super excited. She's running around in the hall. Mr. McAllister sees that, and again, he holds so much resentment towards her that he throws away two of the votes. And Tracy ends up losing.
Yeah, and I feel like that's a big part of this whole movie, is kind of showing how much some people don't care versus how seriously other people take things, which is especially like such a big thing in high school. And we see this a lot like throughout the whole movie. Like Mr. McAllister says that he like really cares about the students, but when you see like his actions, you can tell like it's really not it's
not the case,
not that big of a deal. Like Tracy turns in all of her signatures to get her name on the ballot, and he goes to like give them back to her, and she's like, aren't you gonna keep them? And he's like, yeah, no, it's whatever. And she's like, you're supposed to keep them. So then he keeps them and he drives and just throws them in the dumpster. There's a moment in the very beginning of the movie that I found really funny, where he gets to work and he's going through like the teacher's fridge to like put his lunch, and it's full of all these like leftovers, and he starts tossing them out, and he tosses one over his shoulder and misses the trash can right as the janitor goes by, and the janitor sees it, looks at it, takes a long pause, and just walks on by, which at first to me I thought was showing that like, oh, Mr. McAllister doesn't care, the janitor doesn't really care, nobody at the school really cares, except Tracy. But then it comes back at the end when Mr. McAllister gets called in the office, and turns out the janitor remembered that Mr. McAllister did this, and when he was taking out his trash, saw the two ballots he threw away and reported him. And all these people are in the office because they really care about the election. And so that was like, the janitor is my favorite character. That was such a satisfying moment for me.
He's your favorite because he causes Mr. McAllister's downfall. Cause same.
Yes, and just that like he comes back, like I didn't expect to ever see him again.
That was such an interesting plot point. Again, Chekhov's gun, like we mentioned in the beginning.
Yeah, and I love it, like, cuts through all these shots of all the different people in the room who are, like, staring at Mr. McAllister. So we see Tracy, Tracy's mom, the kid who is in charge of counting the votes. We see the principal, and we see the janitor. And then it cuts to that shot of the takeout food on the floor. Like, really making it show that, like, he remembers, and he's done this with a reason. And I just thought that was so funny.
Yeah, like, the one person who was so unassuming.
Speaking of Mr. M's downfall, I think this is a great moment to just, let's go through and list all the reasons why Mr. McAllister is a terrible teacher. terrible person.
Okay, yeah. Okay, one, I can go on forever. The fact that he uses Tracy's abuse against her.
The fact that he tries to cheat on his wife with Dave's ex-wife, who is his wife's best friend.
Three, that he knows Dave's grooming Tracy and does nothing about it.
He leaves a classroom of children unattended just to go set up a motel room so that he can cheat on his wife.
Number five, the fact that he has sex with a woman while there's a baby in the room.
Yes, oh my god, that was so weird.
That was disgusting. I mean, this list can go on and on.
Oh, yeah. There are so many moments where Miss McAllister is just wrong and bad. Like, there are parts where I'm like, I can't believe he's doing this. Like, is this happening? He's really doing this?
Yeah. And I was, okay, so when I was just, like, doing research for this movie, I went on YouTube to, like, look up clips because, you know, like, these clips get uploaded on YouTube. Like, I wanted to see also what people thought about the movie. So some people were actually arguing in the comments that who was the villain of this movie. And some people were like, oh yeah, it was not Mr. McAllister. He loved his students so much. It was Tracy. Which I'm like, one, no, she was a teenager. Two, yeah, she was kind of annoying, but like most teenagers are. And
yeah.
Three, she was just like super motivated and also kind of just like a victim. And, like, she was also a flawed character. She did rip down the posters. She was kind of like, oh, I want to do anything I can to get my way to the top. But then again, she talks about how she's an only child and how her mom's super devoted to her. But there is a scene after Tracy finds out that she loses, like, wrongly because Mr. McAllister throws her votes away. Like, her mom, even though she's comforting her, she gives her, like I think, like, a mood stabilizer pill or something. But then she also says, oh, maybe if you had more buttons, you would have won. So there's obviously, like, a lot of pressure on Tracy. Not just from her mother, but also because she's from, like, a lower class background. And if she doesn't do well in school and get to a good college, it might be hard for her to make a future for herself.
There is a scene that was actually cut out of the movie that shows it more explicitly, where they kind of, you go through Tracy's house and you kind of see, you know, where she comes from in comparison to some of the other characters. But even without that scene, like, it's very present. Mm-hmm. Tracy has this big monologue when she realizes that Paul is running for president, where she just, like, goes off pretending that, like, it doesn't bother mm-hmm. her, when it so clearly does, about how, you know, Paul's never had to work for anything in his life. Like, his family's super well off. His dad, like, bought him a car, and everybody loves him just because he was on the football team. Meanwhile, she's had to, like, work for everything in her life. And I think that also, like, brings in a really interesting and important element that we've seen twice now, because that's also kind of addressed in that first movie we watched, Knock Down the House, mm-hmm. of working class people trying to get into politics and how there's additional challenges.
Yeah, and I really like that scene where she's talking about it, because I remember, like, in the beginning of the episode, you mentioned showing, not telling. And while she is saying all that, like, oh, it doesn't matter to me, even though he's gotten this, we see how she's working super hard. Like, she's making hundreds of buttons. She's, like, taking the bus home. Like, there are just, like, little context clues we get about who she is. And then literally right after that scene, we see Paul drive up to his huge house, like, super not worried about the election. So I think that was, like, a really good example of showing and telling at the same time. But also that yeah. as working class and, like, middle class people, she's had to work way harder than, like, people like Paul, who just kind of did have this handed to him. Like, he did not want to run. Mr. McAllister kind of was just like, yeah, you should run against Tracy.
Yeah, and I feel like that also reflected certain really relatable elements of high school, because she also complains about how she's done so much work for this school that nobody acknowledges. Like, she was on she's an editor for the yearbook, and she's worked for, like, the school newspaper, and she's, like, putting in all this effort to, like, make high school good for other people that just doesn't really get acknowledged, mm-hmm. which is something that I could relate to an extent because I was on the high school newspaper and I did like the school morning news, and it was something that was definitely like underappreciated.
Yeah, and because like without your yearbook, without the school news things in the morning that you see when you're coming, like those are just elements that make school, you know?
It's such a backbone of like the school mm-hmm. experience.
He was no competition for me. It was like apples and oranges. I had to work a little harder, that's all. You see, I believe in the voters. They understand that elections aren't just popularity contests. They know this country was built by people just like me, who work very hard and don't have everything handed to them on a silver spoon.
So we know Mr. McAllister doesn't really want Tracy to win, and so he picks somebody else to run against her. And he picks Paul to run against her. There's this interesting point of... He says he picks Paul because, like, oh, Paul got hurt and he now needs something else to, like, put his energy into. But I'm sure there's, like, plenty of other students in that school who, like, need something to get involved in who are probably more qualified than Paul was. Like, Paul's a great person. He's super kind. But he also, like, doesn't really know much about elections.
Yeah. When Mr. McAllister is telling him, oh, you should run, he's like, oh, I don't know, you know, it's Tracy Flick's thing and... I don't know if I could do it, but then Mr. McAllister convinces him. And throughout the movie, we do see Paul kind of just like not knowing the dynamics of how he should run. Like his girlfriend Lisa ends up doing most of the work for him. He's just kind of along for the ride.
Yeah, and with Paul, we see that like he's very oblivious to what's happening, but he's very caring. It's like he has no idea the reason Tammy is running is because Lisa is Tammy's like ex-girlfriend. But at the same time, he like keeps reaching out to her and like wants to make sure that everything's all right between the two of them, which is very, very sweet of him. While Tammy, on the other hand, doesn't really care about that as much. She just kind of cares about getting what she wants, which is not really anything to do with school. And her actress does an amazing job of portraying her, which, speaking of, the actress who plays Tammy, Jessica Campbell, passed away in December of 2020, which is definitely worth acknowledging. She mm-hmm. did an amazing job. She also is in the show Freaks and Geeks. She was still very young at the time, which is just very unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Especially her relationship with Paul. One, again, like we were talking about, like just random like things of representation. Tammy's like an adopted kid, like she's Paul's adoptive sister, and like her parents, there's not many interactions with her and the parents or Paul and the parents, but like they do worry for her a lot, and like they don't show any kind of indication that they favor Paul over her or anything like that, which I think was a super interesting point as well, just in terms of representation. They showed like how a kid who's been adopted into a family is.
Yeah, it almost felt a little random because it was only mentioned like once, maybe twice. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like that's kind of how it is in real life. Like my best childhood friend growing up was adopted, and it wasn't like a huge impact on like her relationship with her siblings. Like her older brothers who aren't adopted, like, are very much her brothers, she's very much their sisters, and they're really close.
And I think we can see that also reflected in Tammy and Paul's relationship. Like, as soon as he starts running for student body president, he, like, busts into her room. He's like, Tammy, you wouldn't believe what happened. Like, he wants to share his life with her.
Yeah, and then on the other hand, we see Tracy and Tracy's family dynamic, which is she has her mom, who's a single parent, and that's it. And in the beginning, we see that Tracy's mom, like, has really high hopes for her. And so she writes out to female politicians for advice. And apparently, 9 times out of 10, the advice they get back is that she should hold on to her dream. And that as a woman, it can be twice as hard to do that. And there's a lot more pressure.
Yeah, and I think we see that pressure that Tracy has on her. We kind of talked about it in our last episode about Knock Down the House, how like Tracy does everything like to a T. It's perfect. She gets more signatures than what are needed. She comes to school early to campaign, all that kind of stuff. And Paul just kind of waltzes in. He gets a couple of signatures, and we see that reflection in knock down the house, where AOC has to kind of get way more signatures and ballots and like than she needed, and like her counterpart Joe Crowley doesn't really have to do any of that because he has like all that power, kind of like how Paul does. So I think, again, Knock Down the House is a documentary about real life, and this movie Election is a fictional movie, but it does reflect this really real thing in politics, like how women are perceived versus how men are perceived.
And I think that's addressed a lot through Tracy's character, because she's one of those characters that, like, you remember those people in school who are just, like, so perfect, it's almost frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they've done nothing wrong to make you dislike them. And I think what also contributes to this is we see the movie a lot from Mr. McAllister's point of view, and that really affects, like, how we see Tracy, because he just doesn't like her. And it's not like she's done anything wrong. And I think that's really reflective sometimes of society. Like, Tracy's compared to a lot of female politicians and, like, Hillary Clinton. And I remember I saw this one comment in a article about the movie that you find people, especially men, that are like, oh, you know, I would vote for a woman for president, but not that woman. And I feel like Tracy kind of takes on that role of, like, oh, you know, I would vote for a woman for president, but just not that one. Like, she gets on my nerves, she's too frustrating, she's too motivated, she's too bold. But in reality, like, while she's annoying and, like, somewhat a flawed character, she hasn't, like, done anything worth persecution.
Yeah, I think it really ties back to that kind of, like, again, we talked about it a little bit in Knock Down the House with Paula Jean, of how women are supposed to be the bitch, but then also be submissive and, like, pandering. And Tracy wasn't pandering to anybody. She was like, these are my goals. She was like, you know how people use bossy as a way to, like, demean women who are really, like, motivated? I feel like that's how Mr. McAllister felt towards Tracy, and that's how we saw her in the film sometimes.
Yeah, and that's definitely what happens, is, like, we see at the end of the movie, like, Mr. McAllister is just kind of stomping on little motivated girls' dreams because it gets on his nerves. Because at the very end of the film, we see this scene where Mr. McAllister has left his job as a teacher and moves to New York and becomes a tour guide at a museum. And he gives tours to, like, classes that go on field trips. And we see in one of the tours, there's this little girl with, like, the short blonde hair, just like Tracy, and she raises her hand way up high, super stiff, just like Tracy does, and he purposefully doesn't call on her. And, like, that moment really struck me, because there were moments where, like, I didn't always like Tracy's character, and I was like, oh, you know, it's just her, like, it's not a general dislike. But then I saw that scene at the end, and I was like, yeah, no, that solidifies it for me that Tracy did not do anything worth persecution. Because I remember, like, when I was little, I used to love going to museums and, like, science, and I would hate for, like, someone to try and, like, crush that curiosity and excitement and, like, not want me to grow.
When he moves to New York, he's like, he goes to DC for a while, right at the end of the movie. It's like one of the last scenes. And he sees Tracy there after everything that's happened. And his narration's like, oh, you know what, I'm over this, whatever. But then it starts bubbling up. And then he takes, like, this milkshake and he throws it at the car she's in. And I think just that last scene kind of shows the kind of character he is. His kind of, like, hatred for this 16, 17-year-old girl did ruin his life. It was all just stemmed from him. It wasn't her fault. It was him.
I definitely enjoyed the ending of the movie, which then brings us to our last segment, rating. What were your, real quick, final thoughts and rating for Election?
Yeah, it was a great movie. I really enjoyed it. It was super funny and dark. That's my favorite kind of movie. And yeah, it's just so many interesting characters, weirdly representative of, like, queerness and also just, like, normalizing all this kind of stuff. But again, very lacking in, like, the race thing. There was, like, I don't think there was like one black or brown character who spoke, from what I remember. So that kind of loses points for me. It would have been interesting to see that aspect of an election too, if like maybe there's a person of color running as well. I'm gonna give this a solid 90% out of 100, like a 9 out of 10.
Solid. Yeah, I agree. It was very much a satire that was done so well. Like, everything about this movie was so intentional, like down to the shot setups and like the little side comments, and like that really sold me on the movie. It was super well written. My one point would be is that I go back and forth on whether the point of, you know, Dave grooming Tracy is even really like a necessary aspect of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it did add to it, and we see that as like it appears to be the original reason why Mr. McAllister doesn't really like Tracy and wants somebody else to run against her because he's afraid that like she's gonna come on to him. But like, as we see in the end, and honestly way before the end, that's not at all what motivates his actions going forward. While it was generally handled pretty well, it also did add like an uncomfortable element that like I go on like back and forth on whether it's worth having. Overall though, this movie was like a surprisingly wonderful find. Like, I did not at all expect what it was. I did not expect it to be as good as it was. And I stand by the janitor being my favorite character. So I think I'd give it an 89. And I'd say that, mm-hmm. that if you choose to watch it after this, if you haven't already seen it, definitely, like, keep an eye out for the, like, shot choices. Because I think it really adds something to the movie. And my final comment is, this movie just radiates gatekeep, gaslight, girl boss energy. Just, it is a prime example.
Yeah, definitely. Game for anyone who's gonna watch this movie, assign, who would you assign gaslight to, who would you assign gatekeep to, and who would you assign girl boss to?
Ooh, good question. I think Tracy's definitely girl boss.
Definitely.
Ms. McAllister, gatekeep.
Or gaslight, even.
This is a good point.
Who's gatekeep? Maybe Tracy's kind of gatekeep. She was kind of gatekeeping the election. She didn't want anyone else to run.
This is true, but in the end, she was cool with it. I feel like just because he threw out the votes, that definitely makes Mr. McAllister gatekeep.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Gaslight is harder, though.
I feel like Tammy's gaslighting herself on her sexuality.
This is a good point. This is, because I was, like, thinking Tammy, but in what way? Because she does kind of, like, manipulate some people. Like, she manipulates her way into getting thrown out of her school and enrolled in, like, an all-girls private school.
Uh-huh.
Which isn't quite gaslighting, but is kind of manipulation. But she's definitely lying to herself about not being a lesbian.
Mm-hmm. And then, Paul was the most perfect character. He has no flaws.
Yeah. Nothing wrong there. Paul is a golden retriever.
Yeah. So we've reached the end of this podcast. Thank you for listening. If you listen all the way through, a little bit about us. We are interns for and summer collaborators for Power in Place, which is this organization that is dedicated to uplifting women who are in politics and getting women, especially younger people, interested in politics. So you can find Power in Place at Power in Place on Instagram, Twitter. You can find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and you can also visit our website, powerinplaceproject.com. You can find Election on Netflix. And the next movie, our next episode actually, we're doing a double feature.
Yep, double feature, big deal, really stepping up. We're going to be doing both a documentary and a fictional movie. We'll be doing the documentary RBG and the movie On the Basis of Sex, which are both about the former Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So we're going to have a fun time comparing those. If you want to go ahead and watch those before you catch us next time.
Yeah, thank you again for watching. This has been Sana and Emma with Power in Place, and you were listening to Lights, Camera, Action. This is our second episode. Bye.
Bye.